D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
One of the great wonders of Christmas is that Jesus came to change the entire world. We will see how on today's Christmas edition of Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Merry Christmas to you, and welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. On today's program, we'll look at how the coming of Jesus Christ has changed the world. You will meet a Jewish man whose life was changed when he was confronted with the claims of Christ. And we will tell you about a compelling new resource that will help clear away the misunderstandings about Christ's second coming and the end times. And as we begin, we take a look at the implication of both Christ's first advent and his second coming. The first advent we celebrate today, and the one we look forward to, we do so with expectant hearts. I'm joined in our studio today by a very special guest, Pastor Rob Pacienza. Rob is the senior pastor of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church here in Fort Lauderdale, where he occupies the pulpit established by Dr. D. James Kennedy. Rob, welcome. Delighted to have you here today.
Frank, it's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure for us. Wow, you now occupy what many people would acknowledge as an historic pulpit in the Christian church. How does that feel to be following Dr. Kennedy's stead?
It's quite a privilege. Dr. Kennedy was such a pioneer in so many areas, whether it was evangelism or media and television or church, but I knew him as my pastor, to sit under his teaching and preaching every Sunday, and now to be occupying that pulpit is quite an honor.
I want to ask you about your call to ministry, but I'm reminded that you're a son of this church. You grew up here under Dr. Kennedy's teaching, as you said. You were a student at Westminster Academy, is that right?
I was, and it was actually my senior year of high school. I was in the sanctuary of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church giving a report on what they called Westminster Academy Sunday, and what happened that morning I will never forget.
Well, let's take a look at that clip now.
May we have your help as Westminster Academy is striving towards developing Christian leaders for the 21st century. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Robert. Very articulately said. Maybe he ought to pray that the Lord might want to use him as one of those Christian leaders of the 21st century, perhaps right here where I'm standing.
It must be amazing for you to look back at that clip from time to time and realize the really prophetic statement that Dr. Kennedy made staring at you, young man.
It sure was. I'll never forget that day, and didn't think much of it at the time, but it was really Dr. Kennedy's pursuit, whether it was through an encouraging letter to me throughout college or attending different functions in my life, different milestones in my life. He was always a pastor in my life that encouraged and pursued and really sought me out to help me discern this call to ministry.
Not everyone saw that side of Dr. Kennedy, but he definitely had a pastor's heart, didn't he?
He sure did.
Tell me about your call to ministry. How did that become more specific to you? How did you know that God called you to a gospel ministry?
Well, so much of it had to do right here at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. Dr. Kennedy's commitment to preaching the gospel and the cultural mandate really gave me a heart and a burden for the lost, both locally and internationally, helped me really think about the advancement of the kingdom of God. And it was through college, it was through attending a seminary, the seminary that Dr. Kennedy started, Knox Theological Seminary, where I received a Master of Divinity and the training. And just throughout my life, God has surrounded me with incredible people to encourage me, to foster and develop that call and help me think through what ministry would look like full time. And it has been something ever since I received that call over 20 years ago. It's been absolutely undeniable. That's the passion and the calling that God has put on my life.
He was a man of great vision. We always get the echoes back from different people of the impact that Dr. Kennedy had in their life. having grown up here in the church, you saw that at a much closer distance than many. What about his ministry, or what about the man himself impressed you the most?
The word that comes to mind is faithfulness. When I think of Dr. Kennedy, I think of his faithfulness, not only faithfulness as a pastor, but faithfulness as a husband, faithfulness as a father, faithfulness as just a leader of staff and other pastors. He was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the church that God called he and his wife to back in 1959, never deviated from that calling. And so whether it was being confronted with opposition locally or nationally or whatever it was, he stayed true to the core. So I think of his great faithfulness will always be his legacy. Whatever God called him to, he saw it through to the end.
Yeah. If he were here, I think he would echo that and say it's a testimony of God's faithfulness in his life.
Absolutely.
That he was able to do all that the Lord allowed him to do. In some ways, the most astonishing statement I ever heard as a young Christian, I heard from Dr. Kennedy, who said, Jesus was the only man born for the sole purpose of dying.
Yes.
And so the implications of God becoming man are what? Why was it that God had to become man in order to die on that cross? What was the essential element of that?
Well, ever since Genesis chapter 3, when the image of God is distorted and marred because of the fall, God had to put this plan in place from the very beginning to bring a redeemer, to bring a savior, one that would restore the image of God. But it required someone who was perfect, someone who was sinless. God is holy, and his justice had to be satisfied. His justice had to be vindicated. And so it required a man that was not only fully human, but fully divine, that would come and fulfill the law perfectly on our behalf in order for God's justice to be satisfied. And it is through the justice of God being satisfied through Christ that we, in turn, can experience his peace forever.
Amen. That's great. So, and beyond that, what are the other implications about Christ coming? And only a perfect sacrifice was acceptable. He made that sacrifice. He loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own precious blood, the scripture says. He died and rose again. He's coming again, too, isn't he?
He sure is. And that's the great promise. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the great cultural mandate. The people of God, his people, are called to subdue the earth. And the word subdue is something that's not really understood, but it simply means to bring under control, to bring the chaos and the darkness of this world under control. And so what Christ enables the believer to do, enables the church to do, the people of the kingdom of God, is to really be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to fulfill that cultural mandate here on earth until it's one day fully completed with that great promise in Revelation chapter 21, where Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." The restoration and the redemption of the entire cosmos is finally completed, all because the King has come, has said the kingdom of God is at hand, and now calls us to be ambassadors of the kingdom. It's an amazing thing.
I really like that emphasis, and I don't think we focus on it often enough at Christmas time. We focus on his coming, the celebration, the Lord of glory has come in human flesh. We know what he's come for, at least those of us in Christ, know that he came for his own. And yet we don't often stop to think that he came to make all things new. He came to restore the entire creation.
He sure did. And what a great promise for us. What a great hope we have. I often wonder, what would this life be like, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, if you didn't have the hope that one day he's coming again to make all things new? It's what gets us out of bed in the morning. It's what allows us to look up as Christians. I often say Christians should be the most optimistic people in the world, knowing that Christ will come. He is reigning on his throne, and he is coming back to earth to make all things new. I mean, that is an incredible hope for all people.
Rob, thanks for being with us. Merry Christmas to you.
Frank, Merry Christmas to you.
Well, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, astonishingly entered into human history, taking on human flesh and changing everything. Yet many today simply do not realize who he is, why he came, or the impact he had on our entire world. Rob's predecessor, Dr. D. James Kennedy, reminds us in this excerpt from his Christmas message to change the world.
Today we are gathered together to celebrate the birthday of the greatest person that ever lived on this planet. Now, some people have made transformational changes in one or another part of human learning or life, and their names are enshrined in the history of this world. But one man has changed virtually everything. And most people don't even know it. That's why he is the greatest man that ever lived. His name, of course, was Jesus. We call him the Christ. And there is virtually nothing that he hasn't changed. To wit, he was a baby. And in that, infancy was transformed. One of the most ghastly ills, sins of the ancient pagan world was abortion and infanticide. With the touch of Christ, those two great evils virtually disappeared in the pagan world because of Christ, and only have been brought back again with the neo-pagan view of life, which we called humanism. And so now, as usual, horrible ills of the pagan world are now called virtues and must be supported by right-thinking Americans if they ever want to be a justice on the Supreme Court. But in our hearts, we know what is right and what is not right. Another thing that he touched was time. The ever-living one became a creature of time. He lifted up the river of ages and turned it out of his course. He knocked on the door of the centuries, and all has been different since then. And today, we count time based upon his birth as B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, and yet, tragically, many Americans don't even know what that means today. It's no wonder they celebrate Santa Claus more than Christ. He touched blind eyes and deaf ears and withered legs and arms, and hospitals sprang up into existence all around the world when Christ came. He touched the leper, whom no man would come near. He touched the flesh and healed it, and leprosariums began to spring up around the world because he had made all things new. He gathered little children unto him and took them into his arms, and orphanages sprang up in nations around the world. Wherever his spirit has gone, things have been touched and changed for the better. John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, is known, perhaps you don't know why, he is known to be the most brilliant intellectual president that we ever had. John Quincy Adams. And he said that the great excellence of the American Revolution was what? He said that the greatest excellence was that, quote, it bound together in one indissoluble bond the principles of Christianity with the principles of civil government. And so our civil liberties that we have today and freedoms have come from Christ and from his followers. And in the world today, only in those countries which have emulated America are those where they have real freedom, civil liberties, and freedom of religion, where Christ's influence has been felt, in spite of the efforts of some to destroy all mention of that one who is responsible for giving us the liberty that we enjoy today. Of course, the most important new thing that he makes is a new you, a new me, new people. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's, of course, the most important thing that he's changed, his human lives. People who have been monsters of iniquity have been taken up by those pierced hands and transformed into stalwart soldiers of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, on this Christmas day, this one whom we have beheld, who has made all things new, has he made you new? Have you come to him, received him as Savior, confessed to him your sins, asked him to cleanse you and change you and make you a new creature? Or do you just have the wrappings and the ribbons of Christmas and the essence is not there? Won't you ask him to come in, change your life, transform your heart, cause you to love him, to adore him, and to discover that you have found your Creator and your God?
As Dr. Kennedy explained, the most important thing that Jesus makes new is you and me. In a few minutes, we'll share a resource with you that will clear away the fog surrounding the end times and Christ's return, when his ultimate promise to renew all things will be fulfilled. But first, we meet a man who grew up in a Jewish household and yet felt separated from God until he was made new by Jesus Christ. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Bernis, President and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Thank you so much.
Rabbi Jonathan Bernis heads a worldwide ministry based in Phoenix, dedicated to proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah for all. He wrote the book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth.
Tell us about your background religiously.
Well, I grew up, Jerry, in a Jewish home, a nominal Jewish home, which is typical of the 90% of the Jewish community in the United States. I went to synagogue often on Shabbat when I turned 8 or 9 to begin to prepare for my bar mitzvah. I learned all about the history of our people, that we were the chosen people, that we brought the revelation of the one true God of Israel to the world. But I never learned about what it meant to have a relationship with God. So God for me was just this distant entity who did great things back in our history, but now was unreachable.
After your bar mitzvah, did you rebel at all from the moral upbringings that you had?
I did. Move on to college. I'm searching, have this void, as everyone does, that needs to be filled. And that led to drugs. It led to cults. It led to the occult, searching in all the wrong places. Anything but Jesus. You can believe in anything or nothing and be Jewish, but can't believe in Jesus.
You're growing up, and you're basically, bottom line is, anything is available but Jesus.
And my life really started to change through a girlfriend's life that was changed. She was born again, delivered of drugs, and she made me her target, her project, and began to ask me the typical questions of evangelism explosion. Why are you here on this earth? What's going to happen to you after you die? What would you say to God if you were at the gates of heaven to get in? And I didn't have an answer to any of those things.
So bring us back to the moment of decision or the turning point in your life when you're with this girlfriend and she keeps telling you about Jesus.
She didn't give up on me. She had her Bible study praying. She had her congregation praying. Everybody was praying for me. Little did I know this, I was being pulled. And I eventually went to a Bible study with her. And I really had a supernatural experience. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. But I felt separated from God. The room got bright and very warm. I began to sweat, and some battle inside of me I knew was happening, and I just knew that I knew that I was separated from God. And I prayed a prayer that night. This was almost 31 years ago, where I asked Jesus to take away my sins, come into my life. And it was really a heart prayer. It was from my heart.
Jonathan Bernis discovered that Christianity was not at odds with being Jewish, as he had been taught. In fact, it was perfectly consistent. He discovered that on the first page of the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1.
When I saw Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, Abraham is a monumental figure in Judaism. When I saw David, King David, the greatest king in the history of Israel, it blew my mind. I was taught that this was the book of the Christians. Had nothing to do with Judaism, and here are the greatest patriarchs of our faith were on page 1 in the first verses of the New Testament.
Fast forward to today, and Rabbi Jonathan Bernis is delighted to share Messiah Jesus with all who will hear.
There's more Jews who believe in Jesus today than at any time since the first century, and maybe even more. So our ministry, Jewish Voice Ministries, is dedicated to go anywhere in the world where there's Jewish people open to hear the gospel. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to proclaim the good news, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile.
Jesus Christ was promised to the world through the prophecies of the Old Testament. His arrival changed the course of history, as well as the hearts and minds of countless millions. And there are many prophecies pointing to Christ's return as well, which will result in a complete and visible transformation of all creation. But there is also a great deal of confusion surrounding Christ's return. Theologians call these questions eschatology, which simply means the study of last things or the times of the end. Well, we have an exciting new resource that helps clear away that confusion by letting the Word of God speak for itself. Here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more about it. Welcome, Jennifer, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you, Frank. My father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, was passionate about proclaiming Christ's arrival into the world and the salvation Jesus offers by faith. But you might not know that he also preached an important series of messages on Christ's second coming. Preached on Sunday nights to some of the most dedicated members of his church, these messages were never recorded for television and have rarely been heard beyond the church campus. But we've unearthed the audio recordings of these classic messages, and we want to give you an opportunity to get those messages today. This series of 6 messages called The End Times, A Historical Perspective, brings clarity and simplicity to the complex issues surrounding the end times like you've never heard before. We'll send it to you right away, along with these powerful messages in book form, as our thanks for your generous donation of $75 or more. We'll also include this informative, handy reference chart, which explains each of the major end time views and can be carried right in your Bible. It's available exclusively through this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Discover my father's clear, biblical explanations of end times issues in such messages as the second coming, the time of the rapture, and the thief in the night. We will send you The End Times, A Historical Perspective on audio CD, plus the book version and the End Times reference chart as our thanks for your generous donation of $75 or more. If you would prefer the book only, we'll send it to you for a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. This is the final week of 2016, and we need your help to finish the year in the black and begin 2017 on strong footing, a year that will usher in major changes in our nation. So please, don't delay. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. or call toll free 877-962-7677 or go online to djkm.org.
Many of us remember Charlie Brown lamenting that even his dog Snoopy had gone commercial at Christmas time. We hardly need to be reminded in this season of shopping, gifts, and food that materialism is an ever-present spiritual danger. We can easily lose sight of the real meaning of Christmas because of the surrounding hoopla. But there is an equal and opposite danger, one that is much less talked about. That's the danger of over-spiritualizing Christmas. In this view, if we celebrate Christmas at all, it should be done quietly and piously without all the typical holiday trappings. But this view forgets something very important. Christmas is not a spiritual reality only. Jesus' coming was a ratification of the material world. As one wit said, matter matters. When the Son of God entered into creation, taking on human flesh, he was by his presence, reiterating the words spoken by the Father during the creation week when he said, "It is good." Of course, we must never forget that the creation is fallen. Sin abounds, and even the best intended worship can become corrupted. But Jesus came to earth not only to redeem you and me, but also to set the entire creation free from its bondage to corruption. If we can successfully resist the cultural imperative of materialism, it is a good and right thing to celebrate Jesus' coming by feasting and giving gifts. After all, as the angel announced to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And so the babe of Bethlehem must always have his place at the center of our worship and celebration. But in worshiping him, don't be afraid to enjoy those gifts, that turkey and your hot peppermint chocolate today. And as you enjoy them, give thanks and look forward to the day when such celebrations will take place in the presence of him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own precious blood. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Truths That Transform. Merry Christmas to you, and may the peace of Christ be yours in abundance. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision is absolutely essential if any great undertaking is to come to pass.
Freedom is in jeopardy. This election didn't secure those freedoms. It gave us the opportunity to secure those freedoms and to restore the damage that has been done to them.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.